This is going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. You can follow along with me in the Pew Bibles on page 1524. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is the word of God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears
we've known.
first begun.
Amen. You may be seated. Last week we began our series titled Financial Focus, and we looked at the parable of the talents and what our responsibility was. This week we're going to focus on our priorities. As we heard from the scripture reading, our priorities are about denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus if we truly want to follow Christ. I've asked Ray Solo to come and share for a little bit, and then after Ray, I've asked John Odermatt, our treasurer here at Trinity, to come up and give us an update as to where things stand with the building mortgage loan. And so, Ray, if you would come and share a good word from the Lord.
Let me start out by saying how much my heart is ablaze for this family and for Christ, and how much joy it brings me to see our family continually growing. To see that God has called you all here, to know that God is working in you and through you to continue to grow his kingdom, brings me more joy every day. That discipleship that we come here for, the true discipleship, being devoted to Christ, to follow him, we must always include self-denial. There are three basic characteristics of man. There's self, our family, and our possessions. Anyone who places any of these before the Lord cannot be his disciple. This is clearly delineated by Christ. In Matthew 16:24, we read, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Love for oneself, as we see in the Bible, is a standard for measuring the amount of love that we have for others. In the following verses, in Luke 10:27, "And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of their heart and all of your soul and with all of thy strength and all of thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." In Matthew 19:19, we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In Matthew 22:39, we read, "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So what we discover here is that love for self is inborn or natural and is the primary concern of the unbeliever. Christ didn't conceal from you, from his inquirers who wanted to follow him, what the grace of God would accomplish in a believer. He didn't promise eternal life, but he came here to show us the way. He offered God's grace, which brings a complete change by putting off the old self and putting Christ's life new in us, the old nature, which puts self, family, or possessions first, is put off by the new nature that Christ instills in us. In Colossians 3:9, we read, "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with the deeds." This putting off of the old man is equivalent to believing on our Lord Jesus Christ and trusting and having faith in him. It takes God's grace to do this. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Christ comes to dwell within us, and our old Adamic nature is no longer having that uncontested control, but it's not eliminated. There will be daily struggles with that old sin nature. Everyone experiences it. You will, I will, Pastor Max will, and yes, even the Apostle Paul struggled with that sin nature. In Romans 7:17, Paul illustrates that he had the struggle between the victorious nature of Christ and the sin that dwelt within him. This is why he said, "It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So Jesus, when he says, "Take up your cross," it was for all who would follow him. Don't let the fact that in Matthew 16:24, he's addressing his disciples, don't get the wrong impression from that. He's addressing believers. In Mark 8:34, however, we see that he was not speaking to his disciples only, where he said, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also." And in Luke 9:23, "And he said to them all." This message is to everybody, believers and unbelievers alike. He didn't address the disciples directly when he said in Matthew 16:24, "If any man will come after me." And in Mark 8:34, "Whosoever will come after me." In Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me." These apply to non-believers just as in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that disciples should believe in him?" No. "Whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever shall believe. Jesus wanted those who would truly follow him as his disciples to know that the acceptance of his grace fundamentally changes the individual, revolutionizes your thinking from within, a core change. God becomes the center of your being. Christ not only comes to live within, but there's a constant renewal of the new nature, which gives that old self last place. There's a glory of grace that no love of self, relatives, or possessions can give. The call to be disciples is to all, and the first step is trusting him for eternal life. When an unbeliever understands what will automatically take place is this salvation, he may reject that, just as the young ruler did in Matthew 19. Jesus told him what must happen in his life for him to receive Christ's grace and eternal life. He must be willing to give up his possessions. Jesus knew that this is not what he wanted to do. But that still doesn't change the declaration of truth. "Therefore, the man remained rich materially, but spiritually poor." Our Lord Jesus in no way demands that all who follow them should sell all of their belongings and give them to the poor. However, when he saves a person, we must first put Christ first in our lives. Finally, family and possessions must be available for the altar of sacrifice for his sake. The same Christ who told this young man to sell that thou hast and give to the poor also said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." There are rewards for your discipline. God will pour out on you continually when you turn to him. The same Christ also said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Our Lord never taught us reckless abandonment of self, family, or possessions. He wants us as believers to put them where they belong. They should come after Christ. We should never love God with the love which we have for self, family, or possessions. The love that we should have for him should be unique. It should draw us to worship. When we give him the proper love, then our love for others, family, and possessions will fall into their place. Jesus Christ asserts that a true believer is a disciple who, by constant learning and devotion, loses himself for the sake of his Christ and our glorious Savior. The joy of the believer, however, is proportionate to your obedience to Christ. What Christ will impress upon us is that with Jesus first in our hearts and lives, we are always winners. Amen? When Jesus is first, you can fully enjoy yourself, your family, and your possessions. All of life is then subject to His command and direction. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. So as Max said, my name is John Odermott, and I'm the church treasurer. And so we've had a lot of new faces over the last several years. And so Pastor Max had asked me to give an overview of our capital campaign, kind of where we're at the previous years and where we're at right now. So back in 2008, we developed a renovation plan for the church. And the plan was broken down into three phases. So we had phase one, which renovated the sanctuary here. So we painted, added new carpet, we redid the pews. For those of you who remember how short the railing was up in the balcony, we put a new railing up to code. We also added insulation in the attic, redone the electrical system. We added air conditioning. Yeah. Wasn't so bad for the 9 o'clock, but the 11 o'clock we had to open windows, bees are flying in. Yeah, it was a great time. So, and you're sweating. So anyway, air conditioning was the big thing. Phase two was redo the west entrance, add a new lift, also add an addition on the west end of the fellowship hall, which would include new classrooms, two new bathrooms, new pastor's office and admin's office, and also renovate the existing bathrooms. And then phase three was general updates. So phase one was implemented early in 2009. And to support the renovation, we had a capital campaign fund to raise the necessary funds. So we've had two pledge periods of 3 years each, and the most recent pledge period is coming to an end here this month. The total cost of phase one was approximately $300,000, and to implement that, we had to take out a $180,000 construction loan. And as part of our finance plan, we had to keep 1 year's worth of payments in reserve, which we have kept up that part of the finance plan. So our current status of the building fund, the outstanding balance is $110,775. Our current monthly payment is just over $1,200 a month. For our building fund, for cash on hand, we have $18,800. And we also have stock, which was donated towards the building fund, and it is valued at $10,670. So the total we have in our building fund right now is $29,470. And so that's where we're at currently. So I'd just like to thank everyone. For those of you who were here back then, it was a lot of work, a lot of hours, and just thank you for all your prayers and just the sacrifices everybody made to get to this point. So if you have any questions, you know, look me up after the service and I can provide you more details. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, John. Let me tell you what this is not. This is not about asking for money just to ask for money. What this is about, it's about deciding where we are in our relationship with Christ. See, I personally believe that as we seek Christ, as we follow Jesus, that part of that discipleship will be reflected in what we do with our finances. When I was in sales, there was an old saying, an old adage that said, "Show me a person's checkbook and I'll show you what's dear to their heart." Friends, and it's true. What is dear to our heart often is reflected in how we spend our money. So I just want to share that, and it is not about us asking for money. It's about connecting you and me with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to touch your heart, to move my heart, to touch your soul, and to move my soul in such a way that is reflective of our relationship with Christ. But much more than that, friends, it's about being part of a vibrant body of believers here at Trinity United Methodist Church. It's about storming the gates of hell. Martin Luther King Jr., he stated this in his famous speech, "I have a dream." Well, friends, I too have a dream for Trinity United Methodist Church. I don't want to simply, quote, do church. I don't want to simply just come here and do my time. I don't want to just come here every Sunday and go away feeling like we did what we were supposed to do. No, I'll draw your attention to Matthew 16 once again. If you would, turn there. I want to start on verse 16, and I want to point something out to us all here today. Beginning of verse 16, after Jesus asked the disciples who they said that he was, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." You see, friends, many times in our understanding of that passage, Jesus does want to build his church. He does want to build the church of his bride. But many times when we read that, we think of the gates as being an offensive weapon. And friends, in antiquity or in Jesus' day, gates on cities were a defensive mechanism. And so the dream that I have is consistent with Jesus' dream for his church. And that dream includes pursuing, chasing, storming the gates of darkness. Friends, we are an offensive body. We are called to go on the offensive. We are not called to sit and ponder and just do things. We are not called to be lethargic. We are called to go. Jesus, in his great commission, he said, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things." That's an action, friends. You see, my dream for Trinity United Methodist Church is being a part of a church that is actively reconciling those individuals who are outside of a relationship with the Holy God. It's about being a part of a church who is involved with kingdom ministries, the ministries of reconciliation, the ministries of what Jesus bought and purchased for you and for me. That's my dream. I do not want to be part of a church that is sitting, lackluster, lethargic, and stagnant. For friends, the truth of the matter is this, is that if we become that, we have become disobedient to the commission and the call of Christ Jesus our Lord. George W. Truett, a longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, was invited to dinner in the home of a wealthy man in Texas. After the meal, the host led him to a place where they could get a good view of the surrounding area. Pointing to the oil wells, punctuating the landscape, this wealthy man boasted and said, "25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, as far as you can see, it's all mine." Looking in the opposite direction at his sprawling fields of grain, he said, "That's all mine too." Turning east toward huge herds of cattle, he bragged, "They're all mine too." Then pointing to the west and a beautiful forest, he exclaimed, "That too is all mine." He paused, expecting Truett to compliment him on his great success. Truett, however, placed his hand on this wealthy man's shoulder and pointed heavenward and simply said, "How much do you own in that direction?" Friends, we are the body of Christ. We are individually but collectively part of the body of Christ. And in our individual lives, we all have to ask ourselves, how much do we own in that direction? We can talk about the renovation of the sanctuary, and these are great creaturely comforts. And to be honest with you, with the way that I am so thankful we have air conditioning. Honestly. I would have sweat dripping off of me like crazy if we didn't have AC, you know? So I am blessed. I am thankful. You know, I like the creaturely comforts too, but the culture says get what's ours, treat ourselves, pamper ourselves, do things that is going to benefit you. Jesus says something different. He says, if we want to follow, deny yourself. As Ray mentioned, deny yourself, and that's a hard pill to swallow. It's a statement that our culture doesn't even want to begin to think about. And then he goes even further, and he says, take up your cross. Take up that sacrifice, and that's where the rubber meets the road, friends. It's the sacrifice that God has called all of us to. To sacrifice. Last week we talked about spiritual currencies, to sacrifice our time, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, all those things that God gives to us. And friends, that includes money. To sacrifice. And then he says, then go the next step and truly follow. Friends, my dream for Trinity United Methodist Church is to be an active church, but not just mindless, senseless activity. It's to be about loving Jesus. That's why we're working with this worship service to try to cultivate an environment where people can truly fall in love with the risen Christ in experiencing them here. It's about growing together in discipleship, being parts of small groups, parts of Bible studies, in Sunday school, and that's why the effort is moving to communicate that. But friends, it's also about serving our world. It's about going forth and being a part of God's redemption of that which is lost, being a part of God's calling back to himself that which he created. And friends, there's much that happens here that is already taking place, and I am so thankful for that. There is much, the children's ministries, there's much, the Bible studies that take place, there is much that happens that is already a part of that. So what is all this about? It's about checking our heart. It's about taking the next step. It's about seeing where we might be called to deny ourselves, where we might be called to make another sacrifice. Because I do want to challenge you in one way, and you might be sitting there thinking, I can't sacrifice anything. Yes, you can. I want to introduce to you what I'm going to call the Faithful Fives, and I got this from another pastor. I can't take credit for it, but the Faithful Fives are this. You might say, I don't have a lot of money, but yes, you can take $5 once a week or once a month or once every 2 weeks, and you can put it aside. And after I met with the administrative board, we have decided that every monies that come in and are marked for the building fund will be going directly toward the principal. And that will last for the next couple months. And so my challenge for you, if you don't have a large lump sum of money, be a part of the Faithful Fives. Say, you know what, I'm going to pack my lunch one day this week. I'm not going to buy my lunch at a restaurant this week. I am going to put $5 back, and I am going to offer that. If you can't go there, then jump involved, get involved, and be a part of Vacation Bible School. Be a part of a Bible study. Be a part of growing together. Friends, that's the dream. We are on the right road. We're going in the right direction. There is much to be thankful for, much to be praised for. It's just about calling us to checking our priorities. Are our priorities about us, or are our priorities, are they centered on Christ? And friends, I certainly hope as we move forward, our priorities are truly centered about worshiping Jesus, about growing together, about serving our world and reaching that which is lost. Because friends, that is the heart of Christ. And it's my dream for Trinity United Methodist Church. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your challenge from your word and for the update that was provided for us this day. Jesus, I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. And as we meet over the next several weeks, I just ask you, O Christ, that you would move us in the manner that you would move us and to deal with those things that you have entrusted with us. If it's $5, it's $5. If it's $100, it's $100. But Jesus, I just ask that we would acknowledge it's not about the money, it's about worshiping you, and the money is an expression of our worship to you. And so, Christ, may you continue to move in this congregation. May you continue to just move throughout each and one of our lives and in our hearts as well. And so, Father, glorify yourself this day. May you be blessed. May you be honored. And above all, may you and only you be glorified for all that is said and all that is done here in Trinity United Methodist Church. We bless you now. We praise you now. And we thank you and we love you. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Before we close here this morning, won't you just this week check your hearts? See where you're at in your walk and in your discipleship and your following of Christ. And won't you consider being part of the Faithful Fives? If that's too much for you, then challenge yourself to pray. To pray for the financial situation. And friends, we're doing well here. But there are so many more things we can do if we get rid of the debt. And that's the goal. That's the focus. To be about purchasing territory in heaven, in the hearts of men and women and children, for the glory of Christ, for the glory of God. And so this week, ask yourself, can I be part of the Faithful Fives? The second thing I just want to call our attention to, the clipboards have gone around, and if you want or are being a part of VBS this year, sign your name, write down your t-shirt size, and if you aren't signed up yet, and you would like to be a part of reaching out into our community with the gospel of Christ to purchase territory in the hearts of children for Jesus' glory, sign your name and fill out the rest. And now may the God of all grace, may he bless you and keep you. May he bless you beyond measure, and may he pour out his love and his grace, his truth, his mercy, and his forgiveness. May that lavish over your souls. And truly, may the risen Christ meet you each and every blessed day. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.